Okay, Adam, so I guess maybe the only downside of being a fill-in host for Anthony is that you've got to play the straight man role for me here. But I want you to take a listen to this clip. It's of a reporter interviewing Boston Mayor Tom Menino. Just take a guess at where they are.
All right, hit it.
What's your favorite one out of everything you tried?
Well, I go back to my thing I always loved, turkey gobbler. Turkey gobbler with cranberry sauce, stuffing, and good turkey, and you can't beat it. I mean, but the double hamburger's not bad at all. And I had the shrimp down the other end. That wasn't bad. And the other surprised me was the sushi.
Is he
pretty good. I didn't expect to be that good at sushi.
Is he, like, taking a mental stroll down Quincy Market?
I wish he were, but that's actually Mayor Menino's take on the food at Fenway Park.
Goodness.
He did his annual tour of the park prior to its to the home opener of the Sox on Friday. I have to admit, I didn't even know they had sushi at the Fenway.
I cannot say that I've ever ordered sushi at Fenway Park.
Well, here to talk about sushi and baseball and all things sports is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Bill.
Hey, Magna. Nice to be back.
So California rolls aside, the Sox were the hottest thing in baseball at the beginning of the season, then suddenly, boom, we're 0-4?
Yeah, well, the best addition to the menu at Fenway Park, or perhaps the most relevant, is that they announced just today that they will sell hard liquor at the ballpark. And the way things are going this year, that's a virtual necessity.
Drink away our sorrows,
before the first inning. I'm kidding, of course, but yes, they're not exactly fulfilling their preseason promise at this point.
It's never too early to start mourning in Boston, I guess, but does the Red Sox Nation, do we have any hope maybe tonight against Cleveland?
Yeah, it's simple. All you have to do is start scoring more runs than the other team. There's really nothing mysterious about it.
The calculus is also straightforward with you.
It would be a little ironic if Daisuke Matsuzaka, tonight's starter, was the guy who got the first win for the Red Sox this year, since he is without a doubt the least celebrated of the starting pitchers right now. But stranger things have happened in baseball, so we can cross our fingers for him.
Okay, so I'm going to look over to that big building by North Station and hope that we've got more hope with the Celtics. Maybe?
Yeah, there's good news and bad. I mean, they're obviously still at the top of their division. They're playing well. They're obviously a playoff team. On the other hand, when Shaquille O'Neal came back after a long stretch of being out with injuries, he immediately re-injured himself. And this is the sort of thing that tends to happen when you weigh 325 pounds and you're 7 feet tall and you've been playing professional basketball for almost two decades. Your body, you know, tends to suffer somewhat. So it's very unclear to me at this point how much they'll be able to count on him, not only in the stretch, but in the much more important postseason.
Okay, well, speaking of all things big, I would say that one of the biggest stories out of the sports world is the women's NCAA finals, in which Texas A&M toppled Notre Dame. Here's a bit of Texas Aggies coach Gary Blair.
We follow through. We don't give up. We might not play the prettiest game in the world, but it's good for women's basketball to see a Texas A&M and a Notre Dame in this game, and give so much credit to Notre Dame and Skyler and Muffet. They're class acts.
Good for women's basketball. I mean, I would agree, especially since neither of these teams were number ones. No UConn, no Tennessee.
And how many little pets are likely to be named Skyler and Muffet, in the upcoming day?
I can see the handbag dog
now. It was a great game, especially compared to the men's final, which was a wretched game. And I don't want to pile on because everybody's been saying that, but it was difficult, if not impossible, to watch. The women's game was a great game, back and forth, good shooting, excellent play. The aforementioned Skyler Diggins would have been the heroine of that game if she hadn't had that role snatched away by Danielle Adams. But it was marvelous. Really one of those games that you hated to see either team lose.
It did seem like kind of what women's basketball needed, you know, a big shot in the arm by showing that the talent, you know, spread out far beyond UConn.
Well, it is fun. It's fun to see the story be something other than why doesn't Pat Summitt want to play against Gino Auriemma. It's great fun to see two good teams, and I hope you're right. I hope that ongoing games and seasons will demonstrate that, in fact, there's more and more talent spread into more and more places in women's basketball.
Well, Bill Littlefield hosts NPR's Only a Game. You can hear him every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and most Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you, Magna.
My shepherd is our shepherd.
one last note before we go today. A memorial service was held earlier at Harvard's Memorial Church for the Reverend Peter Gomes, who died late February at the age of 68. Peter Gomes was a minister at Harvard's Memorial Church. He was a Plymouth native and a strong voice for tolerance.
But his voice reached beyond the gates of Harvard. He gave the benediction at President Ronald Reagan's inaugural, and he spoke all across North America and the United Kingdom. Harvard President Drew Faust was one of the speakers at today's memorial. She gave a typical description of the very atypical late Reverend.
Peter was an original in so many ways. An African-American from Plymouth, a Baptist in Memorial Church, a Republican in Cambridge, out of the closet and out of the box.
And Governor Deval Patrick also spoke at the memorial about Reverend Gomes, whom the governor first met while he was a student at Harvard. Governor Patrick read from a recent transcript of an unpublished interview with Gomes.
Peter said, "I am not by nature an optimist, but I am by nature hopeful. And the distinction is one on which I spend a great deal of time in my life. An optimist is someone who expects everything to turn out okay and usually is destroyed when it doesn't. Somebody who is hopeful has the long view and is willing to work through all sorts of temporary misfirings and setbacks and difficulties, because in the long run you are hopeful for a better outcome. So I am a creature of hope rather than of mere optimism. Faith," he said, "is the conviction that hope works."
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Adam Ragusea in for Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.